Day 21 of the war between the United States, Israel, and Iran has continued. Still 3 weeks to complete. The U.S. is now moving a Marine Expeditionary Unit to the Persian Gulf with a couple of thousand Marines. The USS Gerald Ford had a fire on board. They had to leave the line and go make way to a port. And Iran is still holding on and defiant. Israel is now battling both Iran and Hezbollah in Lebanon. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion & Lamb Ministries. Welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, March 20th of the year 2026. Here's the news for this week. In Israel, Operation Roaring Lion is still continuing on, and the U.S. Operation Epic Fury is still taking it to Iran. It's day 21 of the air campaign they are carrying out. Israel this last week was able to take out three of the top leaders, those are the ones who had stepped up to the task, and their supreme leader, Mahtava Khamenei, the son of Ali Khamenei, the one that was killed on day one. Apparently, he's in the hospital. They think he's wounded, may have lost a leg, reportedly is in a coma, and there's a rumor that he may well have died. But it makes for a perfect candidate of a supreme leader, since he's already passed. The Speaker of the Parliament in Iran appears to be the next leader. I hope that he's updated his will and gotten his house in order, because I think that's the one that Israel is looking for. The report on him says that he has not left the building or bunker, wherever he's at. All of his meals are being brought to him by other people. All of the materials that he needs to coordinate with others is being brought in by others. He is not going out in the open and in the public for Israel to see him. Israel this week hit one of the big gas fields, and apparently that supports Qatar. And Trump asked them, don't do that. There's a great fear that if they hit the infrastructure for the oil and gas business, it will just continue to drive the price of oil for all the nations of the world, even sky high. At the moment, the price of oil for a barrel of oil is about $100. There's other people that are still paying up to $150 a barrel. And there are already several nations hurting because of the price increase, not the least of which is China. China was getting most of their oil from Iran. They're not getting any at all. And at the moment, analysis says they probably only have enough fuel in all of China to support them for about four more weeks. So they're going to be looking for a new source for oil to be able to support their nation. Probably the big news of this week was the U.S. announcing that a Marine Expeditionary Unit is moving into the Persian Gulf. We heard it when it was leaving the Sea of Japan, making its way past Singapore, on over in the Indian Ocean and to that area. It's the USS Tripoli, which is a Marine ship that looks like a small aircraft carrier. It carries about 2,200 Marines, helos, Apache attack copters, MV-22 Osprey, which are the rotary wing type airplane that takes straight up and then flies like an airplane, plus F-35Bs. Those are F-35s that do vertical launch off of that flat deck and support ground forces such as the Marines in their missions. Lots of speculation came this week. Oh my, the president's going to be putting boots on the ground. We've got 2,000 Marines. What are we going to do with them? Well, what it does is it opens up a number of options for the United States, and I can assure you that Iran is very concerned about it. This unit that's coming in has the ability, should the U.S. decide to do it, to land and take out small islands that are in the Strait of Hormuz. There are a number of small islands used by the Iranian military there. They could be taken away from them. And it would give certain advantages when it comes to controlling the Straits of Hormuz and stopping drones and other missiles being fired, anti-ship missiles being fired from Iran. You could stage anti-missile capability there and hold it with those Marines so that the Iranians can't take it back. There's another island that's on deeper into the Persian Gulf. It's called Karg Island. And this is the main depot for Iran to be able to load ships with oil. It's a deep water port, a small island out in the Persian Gulf. If the Marines were to take that, they would basically shut down Iran's ability to sell any oil to anybody. And that would put a stranglehold without destroying the infrastructure for a future Iran, but it would shut down all of their oil sales completely. We think the Tripoli and its units are going to be in the Persian Gulf by next weekend, and I believe that in the next report we'll hear more about what the president may be thinking about doing with that. But at the moment, the discussion and the speculation as to what this unit could do has kind of transformed the next step of how the U.S. is taking it to Iran and could actually take certain key things away from them that would be devastating to them. I know that opening up the Straits of Hormuz is a major objective for the president. This unit could be helped to ensure that happens correctly. U.S. bombers, in the meantime, this week have been doing heavy damage, hitting underground storage areas for all of the missile complex and the drone complexes. Iran built these deep storage areas where they could store their missiles and their drones. They're deep underground, but these big bombers, B-2s, can come in with bunker busters, which they did. B-52s and others coming in with 5,000-pound penetrators. And they dropped a bunch of those this week and took out major storage areas for all of those weapons. They've also brought in and announced smaller aircraft, A-10s, which are anti-tank, that carries that 30-millimeter Gal-8 ammunition, depleted uranium ammunition, fires about 4,000 rounds per minute out of that gun. And that's an aircraft that can take out fast boats and anti-ship missiles and fly at slow speeds and very accurate. And they're bringing that aircraft back into this battle as well. They've also brought in the Apache gunships, the Hilo gunships. They're flying along the Iranian coast, looking for any target of opportunity that might pop up from the coast, such as bringing a missile out to launch against a ship and or some launch some drones. They'll be out there to comb the area to keep that from happening. The USS Gerald Ford, the big super aircraft carrier that was in the Eastern Mediterranean, apparently had a fire on board in the laundry area. The fire started, and apparently it was a pretty serious fire because it spread to some berthing areas. We know that one sailor had to be taken away from the ship, sent to a hospital. Some 200 of the crew suffered smoke inhalation. Now, I used to be on aircraft carriers, and let me just kind of tell you why that's such a significant story. Normally, on a ship that size, they have a team, a firefighting team, that's always on standby. We call them the flying squad. And should a small fire pop out anywhere on the ship, those guys are immediately called to it. They've got corpsmen, they've got firefighters, there's officers there to make an assessment of making sure the fire is taken care of. And apparently the flying squad went down there, but the fire got out of control. And as a result, given the number of crew that suffered smoke inhalation, it's pretty clear that the ship probably had to go to general quarters, in which they brought in all the damage control teams to be able to get the fire taken care of. That's a major incident in the bowels of the ship, and apparently they have to go to port to be able to get new laundry equipment. Plus, I understand that a berthing compartment for more than 100 sailors was destroyed, and so that means they need to rebuild that berthing compartment. How long they're going to be in port, we don't know, but they're apparently taking care of it by having to go to port. Iran still has some ordnance, missiles and drones. They're still shooting them daily, not big massive salvos, but a lot of repeated little stuff. Most of the analysts think right now that they're all independent actions. There's not a cohesive battle plan at all taking place in Iran, but rather individual units are just doing whatever they can do. The missiles that are going into Israel now are very clear. They're cluster bombs, and they fly over, they open up or get shot down, and they open up, and these little small bomblets come out, and they flutter down onto the earth, and they go off. There have been many casualties from those because more than half of the missiles that have gone into Israel are that type. And most recently, they've discovered that if you shoot the thing, it busts these bomblets out all over the place, and they've decided to let it go ahead and come in if they think it's going to hit in a non-inhabited area. Let it go ahead and deploy its bomblets. Don't waste any more interceptor ammunition on it. But they're now making clear decisions about which ones get shot down, which ones they allow land. Once the bomblets go down, why, then teams go in and collect them and remove them there from the area. But in this last week, several of those did hit. They did hit inhabited areas. And in fact, there's a specific story that there was a foreigner, a Thai person from Thailand, that was killed, and four Palestinians were killed as a result of those. Debris from these weapons have come in, and now Iran is attempting to shoot at Jerusalem, at the old city, and debris is now hitting the old city. In fact, a big piece of a missile hit the roof of the Holy Sepulchre, one of the Catholic churches where they think that the Messiah was crucified and buried there. And so it's doing damage in the old city, and people are very concerned about that. Drone attacks on the Gulf states, such as Qatar, UAE, and Saudi Arabia, are still continuing. They're hitting civilian areas and part of the infrastructure for their oil business. Saudi Arabia is extremely upset about this. Qatar is asking them to completely stop, but Saudi Arabia is now making brash statements about they reserved a right to strike Iran. At the moment, I don't think Saudi Arabia wants to fly anything into Iran since the air is completely covered by Israelis and the U.S. forces. But Saudi Arabia is now very upset. And the way Saudi Arabia goes, most of the other Gulf states will follow their pattern, and they're all turning against Iran. The Iranian regime is still holding on. The IRGC and Baji, the militia organization that works with them throughout the land, both of them are holding on. The IRGC is clearly the ones that are running the Iranian government at the moment. And yes, they're killing their own citizens who speak up against them. But at the same time, there are many reports of defections and desertions on the part of the Iranian military force. Mossad, the Israeli intelligence, foreign intelligence unit, has been carrying out psychological warfare with Iran. They call certain leaders up. A Mossad agent actually calls them up and announces, "We know who you are, and we know exactly where you're at, and if you don't stop supporting what's going on, you're probably going to die next." Well, there's a recent call that was shared with all of us in the world, in which after the Mossad agent announced that, the fellow who was apparently a police captain in one of the towns said, "Look, I'm not your enemy. Please don't hurt me. Please come help us." So it's pretty clear that the psychology of what's going on in Iran is scary for them. Many of them don't want to fight the war anymore, and they're beginning to step away from supporting. So morale in Iran is terrible. It's probably at the bottom. The only people hanging on are leaders in the IRGC and the other militia organization. Iran's military units, its leadership, and all of its communications have been devastated. There is no cohesive actions that achieve any kind of goals. Shooting the weapons they've been shooting, missiles and drones, what could be characterized more as harassing people. However, those harassments also can harm innocents and civilians. Iranian weapons have been severely reduced and will eventually run out. They are not able to launch big salvos of weapons, and as a result, it's not going to be too long before you won't hear any weapons being launched at all. And the reason is not because they will have taken out every launcher or destroyed every missile. It's just they've run out. It's ammunition completely. The Iranians' citizens are using their phones to take pictures of military units for the IRGC and where they're hiding. For example, if they see a launcher and a weapon that's setting under an overpass and being covered up and trying to protect it, they'll take a picture of that and apparently sending that to Israel. And Israel is flying back in there and using ordnance and going after every one of those things. And there's several videos of how that has exactly happened. So the Iranian people are also helping in the fight against the IRGC in Iran itself. So you got to ask yourself, and this is what everybody's talking about now, how will this war end? Everybody's asking, how long is it going to take? Well, I think how long it's going to take and how will it end, I think at this point, nobody really knows, including the president or Netanyahu, or even for that matter, the Iranian leaders. I think only God knows what's going to actually do. But one thing that we do know will happen, and that is Iran will no longer have a force that of power to be a threat to their neighbors and or to Israel or anyone else for many years to come. How will the Middle East change from that? Well, I can tell you that it will definitely be for the better. The Middle East probably will open up economically, and terrorists will not be the front page news of what's going on in the Middle East anymore. In Israel, morale is very high, even though they're being hit by missiles on a regular basis and having to now deal with Hezbollah. Hezbollah is now launching large salvos of rockets into Israel. Israel is defending against it with the Iron Dome and the Iron Beam, their new laser weapon, shooting down drones and so forth. Israel is responding to them, bombing Beirut. All of the leaders of Hezbollah, several of the leaders were taken out this last week. And ground forces, a full ground force of Israeli forces is moving north into Lebanon. And Israel in particular has been bombing the bridges. And there's four bridges that have been taken out over the Latani River. The Latani River cuts through the southern part of Lebanon. If they can keep Hezbollah above that line, it stops a lot of their attack on Israel, removes the Hezbollah forces that would be trying to attack Israel below that line. So they're trying to push them back to above that, and they're making sure they can't bring any more ordnance down in there. As I said, Hezbollah is launching hundreds of missiles on a daily basis. More than 100 weapons are coming across. They're attacking up in the border area with Lebanon, as well as the Galilee area, Nahariya, a major city along the Mediterranean coast, Haifa, they're trying to hit it. And rockets are also making their way down into Tel Aviv. So there are several communities that are being affected by Hezbollah, and they're being protected by Iron Dome. Hopefully, the casualties will begin to slow down. But right now, Israel in the northern parts is suffering many casualties because of falling debris and because some of those rockets and missiles are making their way through. Interestingly enough, the average citizen in Israel right now spending a lot of time in bomb shelters, the news reports that everybody's getting ready for Passover, and Passover will be coming up here very shortly for Israel and for the Messianic community that's looking to keep the Passover. That's what's going on in Israel. Here in the U.S., terrorist attacks, several of them have taken place this last week. Several Jewish synagogues and schools were attacked by some lone terrorists attempting to harm Jewish people. There is a host of many terrorist attacks in other nations against Jewish synagogues, other locations that have to do with the Jewish people, wherever they're at, the other nations. Here in the U.S., the key administration officials, in particular Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, and Pete Hegseth, Secretary of War, they and their families are now living securely on military bases for their protection. And other key officials are also being protected in the same manner. The Democrats here in the country are berating the president. the intel community and the Pentagon and trying to find fault with anything and everything about the war. It's very clear the Democratic leaders are opposed to the war with Iran. If you stop and think about that, I guess they support the idea of Iranian terrorists as opposed to supporting our own country. They are predicting failure for President Trump and for the military. I guess they're all lining up so they can say that, so that later on they hope to be able to say, see, I told you so. I don't think they're going to be able to say that, because right now the military mission that is going on in Iran is one of the most brilliant that has ever been in the history of the United States in military affairs. The Democrats are also trying to control the legacy media, and they, too, are complaining about the president, trying to bring in talking heads to explain why what the president's doing, what the Secretary of Defense, what the intel community is failing to do, what the mistakes they're making. In other words, if they can't complain about the results, they're going to complain about how they did it. And it's just the news media in those channels is just full of it. There was a pro-Iranian protest in New York City, mourning the death of the supreme leader in Iran and being pro-Palestinian and anti-Jewish. And this is in New York City. And finally, there were several of them that got arrested, and they investigated them, and guess what they found out? All the protesters were fake. They were all paid to go and do that. So the Secretary of Treasury is looking into who's paying for that and why are they causing that trouble here in the U.S. Senator Barry Sanders, well-known in the Senate, made an announcement this week. He wants to stop all sales of bombs and ammunition to Israel. Another example of just how far off base Democrats are with regard to what's going on in this country and what our U.S. military and our administration is trying to do to take care of terrorists and support our allies in the Middle East. Part of it has to do with the midterm elections are coming up, and the Democrats are desperate to get control of the House and the Senate again, so they can carry out their agenda. But there may be an even stronger reason why they are desperate to get power. And here's the reason. It turns out that there's a number of investigations going on by the Department of Justice, the FBI, the intelligence community, and they are finding corruption and fraud is now rampant in Democratic states, and federal programs are going nuts of money is being lost. Taxpayer money is going into, you may have heard the news stories about Minneapolis and what was going on with it. Apparently, that's the tip of the iceberg. There's reports are now coming out that the California fraud that is going on is even worse than anything that we imagined that was going on up in Minnesota. And even Newsom is having to come to terms with it. First response was he's attacking the people that are revealing the fraud. There are many investigations underway. And, oh, by the way, a number of rumors are flying. There's grand juries being convened. There's indictments getting ready to come out. Are you ready for this? Well, former President Obama has had to hire 9 criminal defense attorneys. He knows he's in trouble. And all of the administration that used to work for him, key players, they're all hiring lawyers. I think there's a good possibility that Mr. Brennan, who used to be the head of the CIA, is going to find himself indicted here very shortly. And basically, they're going to be hit with conspiracy charges that has to do with treason. It turns out that certain senators and congressional representatives, governments, and state officials, along with the highest members of our government, there's some collusion that's been taking on. And guess what? Turns out that China is involved. And so this is turning into a real mess. This is going to be way more than Watergate. But here's the key. For those investigations to continue, those prosecutions to go forward, indictments to come out from grand juries, it's got to be done while Trump is still the president. At the moment, J.D. Vance, who's the vice president, has been given the charge to get on top of all of this and to lead the effort to pursue all the fraud, the collusion, the corruption, and all that's getting ready to come down. The entire intelligence community is involved, the FBI is involved, and many other government agencies, and there are whistleblowers galore going on with this. The entire Democratic Party is in deep trouble, and what appears to be Trump derangement syndrome is more likely they're trying to defend themselves and keep from this thing completely blowing up in their faces. At the same time, the Democratic Party, who knows very good and well that we are in the midst of a war with many threats from terrorists, and we've already seen examples of terrorist attacks, are refusing to fund Homeland Security, which has the TSA people that protect us when we get on airplanes, the Coast Guard, and cybersecurity that keeps us, protects us for cyber attacks. They did not stop the ICE agents from going and arresting illegal aliens and deporting them. They were already funded. They're just trying to be as obstinate as they possibly can. And at the moment, I'm hoping that the American people will realize not only are these people that are in question, not only are they criminals, they're also endangering our own country. It's an old expression that we used to say back home. Looks like a lot of chickens are coming home to roost. And the collusion with China and the payoffs and the election fraud is bordering on conspiracy, treason, and all kinds of criminal charges may be coming forth. And a lot of people are in a lot of trouble. It's very scary at the moment to be a part of the Iranian leadership in Iran. There's a good possibility they're going to lose their life. It appears it's even scarier to be a Democratic leader in the U.S. right now while President Trump is the president and all these investigations are underway. So how is this all going to end? I think only God knows exactly what's going to be happening. But right now, we're watching closely because things are about to pop. By the way, just a couple of other interesting things that I found this week. The scientific community has now announced that the radiocarbon dating system that we use to determine the age of rocks and the Earth is completely flawed, that the entire system has an error rate in the powers of tens, and is literally worthless for a method to do dating of ancient materials and such as rocks and formations. The dating of the Earth and the universe is, of course, being estimated to be in millions and billions of years, but they now think that that entire system for calculating that is completely flawed. So how old is the Earth? Well, I've got some ideas when you read the Bible about answering that, but I think only God knows that too. We need to continue to pray for the war, for the protection of our troops, and our airmen and sailors and soldiers that are over there. We need to pray for Israel, for their protection from all of the missiles that are coming in against them. We need to pray for our own country. Apparently, we have a huge mess of our own that needs to be cleaned up. Please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel for even more programming from Lion and Lamb. You can subscribe to our streaming channel, lionandlamb.tv. All of our weekly programs are available on the main podcasting platforms, whichever one you desire. And you can subscribe for our free monthly magazine, the Yavo. It comes in digital form on your website, or we can mail it to, or you can get it by email. You can catch us on all the social media platforms. And please tune in April 4th at 7 p.m. for our Passover special as we get ready for Passover this year. It'll be available for free through April 11th. Shabbat shalom to all of you.